The reading is from Luke 5, verses 12 to 16, and you can find it on the pew, in the Pew Bibles on page 1032. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Please do be seated, and do reach for a pew Bible if you have one near you, and turn to Luke chapter 5 on page 1032. Let's pray as we look at this passage together. Oh Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight this morning. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we continue in our progression through Luke's gospel and the early ministry of Jesus in and around the area of Galilee. Last week we saw Jesus' encounter with Simon the fisherman down by the lake. And today Jesus is back now in the towns. We don't know which town he was in, but while he was there, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. And he begs Jesus for healing. Let's firstly note the leper's plight. The word translated leprosy here actually refers to a number of skin conditions and not necessarily to what we usually think of when we think of leprosy, which is actually called Hansen's disease. We don't know exactly what this man was suffering from. It may well have been Hansen's disease, traditional leprosy. But whatever it was, he was covered with it. And his appearance must have been alarming. If it was Hansen's disease, his skin may have been rotting, so that he smelled terrible. What's more, the disease destroys nerves that sense pain. So lepers often lose fingers and toes and limbs because they can't feel perhaps heat from a fire or the cut of a knife. But even if it wasn't Hansen's disease, being covered in any severe skin condition would have been so uncomfortable. At times I've had small patches of mold, psoriasis and eczema. Maybe some of you have similar things. And it's horrible. It's itchy. And when you scratch it, it bleeds. And the thought of being covered head to toe even in that, well, what an awful agony that must be to face. And so the condition itself must have been awful for this man. And yet for a Jew, the worst part of having a skin disease was not the disease itself, but the separateness that went along with this condition. You see, lepers were social outcasts. According to Leviticus chapter 13, someone with a skin disease had to wear torn clothes. They had to let their hair go all unkempt, wear it scruffy. And if anyone got close to them, they had to cover their mouth and shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" to warn people to stay away. What an awful existence. What's more, these people had to live alone. They were banished. They were banished from their family, banished from the community of which they were part, and even banished from worship at the temple. commentator Dale Ralph Davis says, he says this, he says there'd be no coming to the synagogue, no joining in public worship, no morning coffee at the local cafe, no hugs from his kids or his wife. Relatives might leave food for him at a designated place, but he was cut off from human contact. If he were fortunate, he might find a reasonably comfortable cave. I mean, what sort of existence would this leper have? It must have been terrible. Such was the terrible plight of the leper. Kent Hughes, another commentator, describes lepers as dead men walking. To be a leper was in effect a kind of living death. And yet somehow the poor leper made his way to Jesus, no doubt crying, "Unclean, unclean," as he made his way through the town. He'd obviously heard of Jesus and his miraculous powers, and hearing that he was in town, knew that Jesus was his only hope. So from the leper's plight, let's next think about the leper's faith and humility. We're told in verse 12 that when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice the first word on the leper's lips. He says, "Lord." As I mentioned last week, the word "Lord" in the New Testament can simply mean "Sir." But he must mean more than simply "Sir" here because of what he says next. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He doesn't say, "If you can make me clean." "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, the leper clearly knew Jesus' power. He has faith in Jesus' power, in his lordship. He knows that Jesus can heal him. Which is why I think he's not just saying "Sir." He knows that Jesus is Lord, God in human flesh. But the leper also shows great humility as well as great faith, because he knows that he's utterly dependent on whether Jesus is willing to or not. The leper knows that he has no claim on Jesus. He has no right to demand healing. Like Simon Peter from the passage before, this leper knew his utter spiritual poverty. It must have been quite a moment. I mean, what is Jesus going to do? "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It's one of those sort of cliffhanger moments. If Luke's Gospel were a series on TV, this would be a natural place to insert an advert break. The suspense would keep viewers glued to the telly to find out what Jesus would do after the ads. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, thirdly, we can note the beautiful love of Jesus in verse 13. Because what Jesus does is so loving and tender and beautiful. Before he even says anything to this man, we're told Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. How beautiful and loving is that? This man has no right to be anywhere near Jesus. Any ordinary person would have run a mile from this leper as he shouted "unclean" coming towards them. This man was an untouchable. And yet the first thing Jesus does is touch the untouchable. Can you imagine this chap lying on the floor face down when suddenly he feels the touch of Jesus? We don't know how long it had been since he'd felt a human touch. The extent of his leprosy suggests it may have been a long, long time, years and years maybe, without even as much as a handshake or a reassuring hand of a friend on his shoulder. A warm embrace would have been a distant memory for this leper. Just imagine what the touch of Jesus must have felt like. I'll tell you what it felt like. It felt like tangible love. love that you could feel. Jesus wanted this man to feel his willingness to heal, not just know his willingness to heal. And having touched the leper, Jesus then said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Now that's not what the law says will happen if you touch someone who is unclean. See, when you touch someone who's unclean, you don't make them clean. You catch their uncleanness. That's what the law says. Only with Jesus, the reverse happens. Jesus' touch doesn't contaminate Jesus. Jesus' touch cleanses the leper. And yet there is a sense in which Jesus' touch shows the man that he's willing to take on this man's uncleanness. Carl Lafferton says, "There's an echo here of the cross. How is the leper made clean? Because as Jesus touches him, he gives him his cleanness. But in touching the leper, Jesus himself becomes unfit to be part of God's people. And that's the way Jesus removes the spiritual uncleanness from all his people, by taking it upon himself and giving us his perfection. It's why he died." What Jesus does in touching the leper is really a sort of a living enactment of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, where he says, "God made him," that's Jesus, "he who had no sin, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Perhaps you're here today and you believe that Jesus is able to cleanse you from your sin. But you're just not sure if he's willing to do that for you. If that's you today, let the story of the leper be like the touch of Jesus on your shoulder this morning. Because you are not untouchable to Jesus. He wants to place his hand on you today and take from you everything that has ruined your relationship with God and rendered you unclean to be in his presence. And he wants to give you his righteousness and his cleansing forever. All you need to do is to come to Jesus like the leper, coming in faith and in humility. And Jesus says, "I'm willing. Be clean." Well, having healed the leper, Jesus then gives him a double command. The first being somewhat strange. Let's think about the commands of Jesus. Just briefly before we do that, though, it's worth noticing that faith in Jesus is what then leads to obedience to Jesus. The leper came to Jesus in faith and experienced the salvation Jesus had for him. But coming to Jesus is not a one-off occurrence. It's not that we just come to Jesus, get fixed, and then leave him with no ongoing relationship with him. No. Those who put their faith in Jesus put their faith in him as their Lord. Faith in Christ puts a person under Christ's authority, under his rule over their lives. Which is why Jesus issues the leper a command. You see, Jesus expects those who put their faith in him to obey him. And if someone claims to trust in Jesus but has no evidence of wanting to obey him, we have to question the authenticity of their profession of faith. That's why we taught the children earlier in the service from John 15 verse 14, where Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And for us today, Jesus' commands are contained in the whole of this book, the Bible. Because Jesus endorsed the Old Testament as the Word of God, and he commissioned the writing of the New Testament by his apostles. So what we have in the whole of Scripture is Christ's authoritative teaching. Teaching that is for every generation. Teaching that never changes. Because God does not change. It's why it's so serious to depart from the teaching of Scriptures. Like I said earlier, that the bishops of the Church of England seem to have done. Because you cannot claim to be a friend or follower of Jesus while at the same time undermine his word or ignore his word. Obedience follows faith. That is always the direction of true faith. Which means disobedience to Jesus is what follows faithlessness. Anyway, Jesus' command not to tell anyone about his healing does seem strange, doesn't it? Surely news of this miracle would only aid Jesus' cause. But it seems this is not the case. For Jesus didn't want to draw crowds who simply came to him for miracles. His primary purpose back at the end of chapter 4, we're told, was to preach and teach. And there was a danger that Jesus' primary ministry would be sidelined because of his attraction as a miracle worker. What's more, such news would only heighten the messianic expectation of the time. And although Jesus was the Messiah, he was not the Messiah that they expected. And such publicity at this stage might lead to further confusion about his purposes in coming. That seems to be why he called the leper not to say anything about this to others. And yet the other command is to go and show himself to the priests and to offer the necessary sacrifice for cleansing. This was a requirement of the Old Testament law. It was the only way that a person with a skin disease could be welcomed back in to the worshipping community. The only way they could do that was by the cleansed person getting the all clear from the priests, who would inspect the person's body and then offer the sacrifices that authenticated the person's cleansing. It was God's officially the official God-given all clear, if you like. That would mean the man could, as it were, have his passport back into his family life, into his community life, into temple life. Notice this would be a testimony to them. Who's the them? Well, that's the priesthood, the spiritual leaders of the nation. Because the leper's healing would be a testimony to them, the spiritual leaders, that God was at work in Jesus. This was a message specifically that Jesus wanted the priests and leaders to hear. Finally, as we finish, let me just briefly mention verse 15 and 16, to which Dale Ralph Davis gives the heading, "The Peril in Jesus' Success." You see, despite Jesus' command not to tell anyone, news about Jesus spread like wildfire, and more people came to hear him and be healed by him. And it's in this context that Luke adds, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I think Luke wants us to see the connection between this popularity of Jesus and the need for Jesus to turn aside in prayer. See, Jesus was faced with celebrity status. People just couldn't get enough of him. And sensing the danger of the situation, Jesus realized his need to turn aside and regularly draw strength from his Father in prayer. Could it be that Jesus heard in the crowds the echo of Satan's temptation, "It will all be yours"? Could it be that Jesus felt the pull of the path of applause and popularity and felt the pull away from the path of obedience to his Father's will, the path that would lead him to the cross? The fact that we're told Jesus often withdrew to pray shows that he frequently faced such temptations and needed time and time again to realign his priorities with God's priorities and draw strength from his Father for his earthly calling. And if Jesus, the Son of God, regularly needed time alone with God in prayer so that he could live in obedience to God, how much more do we, each of us, need to turn aside regularly and spend time with our Father in prayer? Dale Ralph Davis says, "It's a troubling paradox that what may seem the best moments in our Christian experience may actually be the most dangerous." Let me say that again. "It's a troubling paradox that what may seem the best moments in our Christian experience may actually be the most dangerous." Do you know, the times when people, I find believers in my experience, when believers have fallen away, it's not primarily been when things have been bad in their lives. It's when things have been going well. That's the time, perhaps, when we're most in danger of forgetting God and desiring to live life our way rather than God's. It means we don't only need to turn to the Lord in prayer when things are going pear-shaped. The lesson from Jesus is that we need to turn to God in prayer even more when things are going well, lest we find our lives subtly being realigned by other things in our culture. Let's just take a moment to quietly reflect on this passage together and God's word to us this morning.